dead.
Hello.
An oldie but a goodie.
Hi, everyone.
Hey.
You probably recognize that voice. That is...
That fart?
that fart is Chris Halland over here. I am breathing.
Don't go giving out my last name.
You've said it.
I don't think so.
Well, you're fucking on the spot now.
That's fair. I'm part of a witness protection program.
So you probably shouldn't have your real name on all of your documents.
It's
here.
It's definitely not Daryl Halfelsberg.
Well, I fucking hope not. I hope you would legally change that just because.
It's definitely not a mid-range ICBY yogurt.
Anyway, hey guys, how are you? Welcome to another episode of Craft Beer Is Dead. I am one of your hosts, Bree, the pint-sized traveler, accompanied by...
David Halfelsberg. I'm Chris Face. What's up?
Today we are here with another news episode.
Beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep. So we are discussing some ish. Most of it, I'd say, is positive.
Unlike, yeah, I mean, we're all like bouncing around.
We're bouncing around, but we're on a pretty peppy mood today. So we'll hit you with some bippity boppity, not so bad news today. So, did you watch the fight? The big old fight everybody won't shut the fuck up about?
So, let's just call a spade and just say that fight sucked.
Can we just call a spade and just be like, Mayweather, why are you trying to have hair again?
Aw, little buddy.
So perturbed over this. Like, you're so much... You coined this bald look. Like, why... Why are you doing this? You look like a Cosby kid. Like, yeah. All we need to do is put a little sweater on him and he looks like a little Cosby kid.
And that's the thing. Is like, look, Mayweather, I know you could knock me the fuck out.
Oh,
and that's honestly, do it, please, man. Because like, payout would be great.
No, I don't want brain damage. I'm
what
good.
I will say, though, is we know you have money.
Yeah.
We've seen the photos.
Yeah.
Just buy a razor, bro. Okay. Secondly, too.
But he got plugs. That was plugged. That was implants.
Oh, really?
Yes. That's what's so funny. That's why I'm making fun of this so repeatedly, is because it's not... He didn't grow his hair like that. He fucking got plugs.
All right.
Was like... I made a little like joke in one of my Instagram captions. That was like talking about Maine and Six from Jacksonville, and was like, they have more hardware, talking about their awards, than it took to get hair on Mayweather again, like more hardware.
Look, I'm not gonna make fun of the guy. He's obviously extremely good at what he does.
Okay, you can still make fun of him. He's a douchebag.
Oh,
he's a good
yet.
Athlete.
Oh, but... I'm not done. I'm just throwing out a couple buffers right out of the gate. I am also not a sports man, as a sports man would be known, right?
Okay.
But what I can
I like
say
sports.
Is we talk a lot about psychology a lot.
Yes.
When it comes to serial killers, spooky crimes, things like that. So what I will say as well is the whole gotcha hat scenario was funny as fuck.
That was super funny.
Oh, so good. Because
super funny.
One of the most prominent boxers in the world, one of the most respected boxers in the world, and one of the most feared boxers in the world, melted down like a four-year-old that somebody just stole his fucking lollipop from him.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, no, no!
Yes. Ugh. He lost his shit. I mean, so it's funny because, I mean, I watched it and I thought it was Logan who did it, but it was the brother, mm-hmm. right? It was the brother. So both of these dipshits made famous from YouTube. And
I know nothing about them, which is great for this conversation, because like, you can explain why.
I really don't know that much, honestly. So from what I gather, there's Logan and then the other asshole brother. I thought the other asshole brother was the only fighter. So I thought this whole time that was the one who was boxing Mayweather. But so they both just turned a new leaf and went from being like some of the most hated people on YouTube. Like, they would get shadow banned every week. Like, they just... put out content to piss people off on purpose. Like, that's their brand.
So they're just professional trolls.
Yeah, absolutely. So like, Logan, you know, he is made most famous from when he went to the Suicide Forest.
Oh, this guy.
That's him.
Yeah.
That's him.
Okay.
Okay, so, you know, he went to the forest, took pictures with, like, hanging dead bodies and made videos, YouTube videos, with people who killed themselves in this forest.
I will say, probably not the first person to think about, just the first person to do it.
Yes, but I think it's the way he did it, too, was it was a lot.
Super disrespectful.
It was super disrespectful. You know, he's just was very, like, tee-hee, kind of ha-ha about it all. Not, like, doing it, like, docu-style or anything like that. He was just being a fuck. So, anyway, that's how he made famous. And then turned a new leaf and all this bullshit. I mean, dude's yoked.
Dude, the guy was fucking jacked.
Fucking huge.
Yeah, man. Good for him.
Was, like, wait a second. Is that that scrawny piece of shit that I saw all over the news like 5 years ago?
It reminds you of like weird out of shape characters who get super jacked for Marvel movies. Yeah. So like Chris Pratt, Kumail Nanjiani, where all of a sudden you're like, wait, no, we were the same.
Yeah. And now we are very different, different people. So I don't know. The fight was just really ridiculous. We had a lot of glitches in the system with trying to watch it, so it was even more of a pain in the ass, but we'd have to buy it. So, but Showtime is getting a whole lot of shit because we actually went to buy it because we were getting so many glitches and we couldn't. Like, their whole system was down. Yeah. So they are fucked right now.
Well, because they've been doing so great so far with all of their streaming apps and everyone talking about them all the time. I will say, though, fight-wise, because it was an exhibition and, like, no one's really ranking anything or whatever, Mayweather did what we knew he was going to do. Mm-hmm. He's basically just reading the scenario the whole time. First two rounds, he's basically just he's mapping the guy out.
Yeah.
fucking Jones, right? What's the guy's last name? The other guy fighting him? Because I don't.
Logan. Paul.
Logan Paul. Yeah. Paul. Okay. What's the last name? Logan.
I think
I'm just going to call him Logan. All right. We'll call him Wolverine.
Like, no, it's Paul.
Yeah. YouTube Suicide Forest guy.
Logan. Yeah.
Logan. Right. So he did a pretty solid job too. He's using his reach to his advantage and he's literally just throwing.
He's so much bigger.
He's throwing left jabs the whole time just to keep Mayweather at bay. Mm-hmm. So it was just two people using their advantage who were just supremely outdone on each other's like size and weight and stuff.
Yeah.
We were never going to get a good fight. Mayweather almost had a couple of cool shots.
Mayweather was starting to try
and then
you could see on his face him being like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he was getting frustrated.
Like, how the hell? But I do have to say, I think the best part of the whole fight was the commentators. If they commentated more, did you listen to them at all or did you hear about this at all?
No, I watched a recap.
Yeah.
They had it like cut up wrong. So it like the commentators almost telegraphed what was coming up. So it was a little frustrating. But
so they, I forget their names. I think they actually host their own podcast. They were so entertaining because they just made fun of everybody the whole time. They were not normal commentators. Like, they were just like friends of somebody or like, I don't know. It was, since it was just like kind of a joke match, it wasn't real sports commentators, but they were so fucking funny. Like, they just trolled everybody the entire time. And you're just like, bro, if they commentated more boxing matches or MMA, I would genuinely watch it more often. I like watching MMA, but boxing, no. But oh my God, they were awesome. So whoever they are, good for them.
Yeah, we should have seen like Ross and Dan getting in there doing the same thing.
Oh my God, they would. Actually, I think they attended. I think they were
ringside
there
with like Chuck Liddell and all that.
Exactly. Yeah. Unbelievable. You know, the second row seats were going for $7.50 a pop and they were so far back because of COVID that they couldn't even see the fight happen whatsoever.
That's nuts.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So, any Whoville.
Wait.
You want to open a beer?
I was about to say, we forgot a very important part.
Well, I was going to say, you didn't. Did you have any beer during that fight that you liked?
selfish plug. We have Gotcha Hat. We had a hazy IPA in the tank that was about to back up our hop soup. And we had no idea what to name it until Doug showed me that Gotcha Hat video. And I thought that was the silliest, dumbest, stupidest thing I ever saw.
And leave it to Doug to even find that video. I have yet to see it on Instagram. I've yet to see it on TikTok. I don't know anyone else talking about this. But then when you say it, people are like, oh, yeah. Oh, ha, 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 ha. Like, how the fuck did you come up with that? Whatever.
Honestly, too.
Super funny and great beer.
If you watch the highlights, too, like Logan toward the end starts doing the Gotcha Hat bit where he's like starts throwing his glove out.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. He's fucking with him the whole time, man.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, Let's open some birth.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. While he opens that, I was drinking, it was a this hard seltzer from Three Sons that I just got at Uppsala, and it was 9.6% ABV, and it was pretty fucking delicious, all right. Honestly.
It was, down to that.
It was amazing. Very different from, what is this, a red ale?
So this is the Red Viking. India Red Ale from, it was a collaboration between Old Deck and Tank Brewing down in Miami.
I think the homies from Lobos brought this in.
Yeah, so Lobos knows one of the guys from Tank, who is a super awesome guy, brings us beer every time he's up. We've actually featured them when we did our Lobos episode. Mm-hmm. I think we did their Amber Ale, but so we've covered them before. Their beer's great. Go down, check them out. For Old Deck specifically, they are also out of Miami.
Have you heard of them before?
I haven't. That's why I need either. To look them up, but it's also been a really long time since I've been down to Miami, but we're going to go there soon. So,
yes.
Are we going down there? You can find their Faded, their Laid Back Luau, as well as their Sunshine and Vinny Van Gomez.
I need to look up the labels to see if I've seen them before, because I just can't.
They look a little newer, but I'm often wrong. So, let's try this a shot. I love India Red Ales. It's one of my favorite styles, and it sucks because they're like one of the slowest moving styles of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever put one on here?
We've had two on, actually. We did one with Back to Nature, and then we did kind of like Bloodstripe, which was like a hoppy amber ale.
Yeah.
Like more of like a hoppy red.
What was the name of the Back to Nature one again?
BTN.
Oh, makes sense. Yeah. I don't think I actually even tasted that one when it was on, to be honest with you.
It was a fun one to do, because like we actually got a lot of like honey from the local apiary at Back to Nature, which if you're not familiar with them, go follow them. They're mm-hmm. super dope. They're a refuge that basically helps rehabilitate injured animals and then release them back into the wild here in Central Florida.
And an event coming up here. Follow up on details eventually on the date, but they're coming back in with some owls, which is pretty cool.
They are it sounds so dumb saying this, but they are legit just straight up majestic as fuck.
They are so insanely just captivating. You just see their eyes and you're like, you're thinking some shit.
Yeah. And like, I could see how people misunderstand or undertake the for aliens. A gray. Yeah. Just saying.
So I normally am very off put by the style name. I think I just have this stupid thought in my head that it's going to be very...
They're usually pretty malty, pretty hoppy. Yeah. You got the hoppiness, the kind of piney, resiny backbone of a standard like West Coast-y kind of American style IPA. But you also get that like caramely, toffee, sometimes bread light malt backbone as well.
Get a lot of caramel toffee on this one.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that these you don't see these often, but...
it's very light.
Makes them sad. Good job, guys. Proud of you.
What's one thing you wish you had in the tanks right now?
Oh, damn. That's a surprise question. I wish I had a fooder. That's pretty much it.
Very true.
Yeah. Like, we've got a pretty solid Saison on right now and stuff like that.
We can get
like
those cute little stacking ones. Oh, no. They're so good.
And they take up like little to no space.
No room.
Fooder Crafters of America. Just saying.
No room.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway,
Christmas list.
it's on the list. But yeah, what about you? What would you put in a tank?
I would put another sour IPA in and do something cool.
Word.
I don't know what.
How very vague.
It would just be a sour IPA though, because that was fucking awesome.
I don't know what it is, but you would see it and go,
you'd cool. like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm on the. I wish it, you were working with Tamarin with the new thing that you're doing.
Yeah,
it's on number 11.
It's on the list. Yeah.
Okay.
So the next one's going to be Tangerine. So speaking of that, right? So mm-hmm. we're talking more so like we've gotten into the seltzer game and like the smoothie game and all that kind of stuff too. Speaking about what Three Sons, what was theirs like? Because you were talking about,
dude, it was fucking nuts. It was like legit tasted like a really finely crafted craft cocktail is mm-hmm. the best way I could explain it, like a Mai Tai almost type of thing. But at first I took a sip and I was like, oh my God, like that flavor, I just couldn't place it. It was like, And then I read the ABV and I was like, oh, fucking A. That's what I'm getting. It's a little boozy, but in that really, like when you drink a cocktail, you want to taste the liquor, but in a pleasant way, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like you want to feel like you're getting your money's worth. So
but
that's
not
how
too
I,
much of your money's
without worth. Too much, not like unpleasant.
Well, I think it depends on your age too. Because yeah. I remember when I was like 22 to 25.
Getting your money's worth was $3 and
yeah,
you wanted to
I wanted
get
like a splash of soda in my like yeah. half pint of fucking whiskey.
Yes. Yeah. I don't want to taste the alcohol, but I want just enough for me to not question whether the bartender just fucked me.
Yeah. It, you know it needs I to mean? Be like tiki style to yes. where like when you get the drink, you're like, oh, fuck. Yeah. I get why this is $14.
Yes.
But also, I can't wait to see what I'm doing in 45 minutes.
Not wrong.
No, it's funny because like before you talk about that, we were talking about some different processes and stuff to go more of a tiki route,
yeah.
Which I think we're going to start exploring, which I'm pretty stoked about.
Hell yeah. But, absolutely. They're just, we're fucking in Florida, you know, like you have to.
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
Yep, yep, yep. They're it's funny so too. Good. So like that actually brings up one of the articles that I found while looking through some of the beer news stuff. This is from craftbrewingbusiness.com and it's Tavor's craft beer report from May 2021. Mm. I didn't even know that Tavor had a craft beer report.
No, but I love that they do.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. I mean, it's smart too. Cause I mean,
it's
like,
so smart. It's going to bring more traffic to their page, their website. Like, that's just super smart of them to do.
So if you are listening to this and you are not familiar with Tavor, but you are a beer fan, what is wrong with you? It's okay yeah. that you've been living
but
under a rock.
But if you also don't, if you do value,
if you value,
if
your
you
money,
value your money, yeah. and you are not in the place to just, it's.
Let's put it this way:
it's
if
dangerous.
You didn't know, if you don't know, if you have like a couple hundred dollars of like disposable
extra,
income,
yeah,
and you let's say you're the type of person that already knows you have that, mm-hmm. and you go stocks, nah, yeah. bank account, nah, let's just blow it all
ooh,
at once.
I'm gonna
let's
have this dope ass bottle share in a couple months.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, you know Tavor is the shit. And
no, they're dope.
You guys turned me on to them, and then I remember Doug having the app for a couple months, you having the app for a couple months, and then both of you assholes had to delete it at the same time because you got like two mm-hmm. $200 crates back to back. And so, then you both were
oh
like, son of a bitch.
So the problem with that is, one, it's not like the average like kind of beer of the month shipment no. thing where like you just get a case of beer just shipped to you one time cost and you know it's a big expenditure at a certain time, right?
Yeah.
You know that for X amount, it's going to ship out to you on this day. So you can put 3 beers in there.
Yep.
You can put 40 beers in there.
Yep.
I know because I've done both.
Yep. And it's so, the same price.
And they charge you the moment you buy just the one or two cans or bottles or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's not this big sticker shock. So it's almost like Amazon where like, oh yeah, I'll just order this. I'll just order this. I'll yeah. just order this. And then by the end of the month, you're like, oh my God, I spent $400 on Amazon Prime this month over shit I could have just gone to goddamn Walmart on.
Absolutely. Like, yeah.
So but they, because they deal with a lot of different types of things, and honestly, too, a lot of it is more of those hypeable brands. You know, they're yeah. the hazy IPAs, the barrel aged, the sours, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And now a lot of it, we are starting to see this kind of smoothie based kind of seltzer thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you are a brewery out there and you're not making those, what are you doing? I mean, it's a no brainer. People love them.
Just so cheap to do, and people are freaking the fuck out over them. So just suck up whatever you're feeling internally and just know that your business. So what if you could just go buy a new piece of equipment or something? Like, you just come give your balls to them.
And honestly,
whatever.
If you're a brewer out there and you're like, oh, I'm not gonna make that, that's beneath yeah. me. It actually is kind of a challenging style to make mm-hmm. from a fermentation perspective if you're only used to
and
making beer.
If everyone and their brother is doing it, okay, well, there's the challenging aspect. What the fuck are you doing different?
Welcome
what
to
are you
the
doing
market.
Better?
Market
exactly.
dictates everything. No one cares what you wanna make, it only matters what they wanna drink.
But Tavor does. They
so,
have yeah. seltzers too. In
they
there?
So they started doing the Smooge seltzers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was
okay.
the name of the brewery that was doing them?
But it's like S M O O J.
Yeah,
right?
So From the same website that I mentioned earlier, in January 2021, Tavor received the first shipment of Smooge Seltzers, a new type of heavily fruited hard seltzer pioneered by the seltzer arm of Holmes Brewery in Michigan.
No idea.
So it's essentially, and you know, no disrespect to them, but it's essentially just a bunch of puree dumped in a seltzer base, and people love it.
And they're freaking out.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're doing a really good job at marketing, because I know a few influencers who have gotten little packages, and like, I even just know how to fucking spell it from just seeing them post about it. So you're like, all right, clearly it's working.
Because of that, in May, Smooge solidified a place as the preferred hard seltzer smoothie among Tavor's fan base. Their pina colada and strawberry banana smoothie seltzers each took a spot among the top five best-selling beers of the month.
Wow. That's pretty insane.
So, and then from a pie chart as far as what they've launched too, cider making up like 5.6%, sour and funky making up 27%. Gosh, excuse me. Sorry, this Red Viking is making me the burp full butt. Light and crisp, so like your Crispy Boys at 11%, 23% for your dark and intense, you know, your barrel aged stouts, all that kind of stuff. And then a non surprising winner of hoppy and juicy at 32%, almost 33%. So,
is it weird that I actually thought stouts was going to be the winner through Tavor?
No, I think stout heads are like the most vocal.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
and diehard and willing to pay
dude,
for that shit.
You see that resell on like fucking eBay and through the different like beer exchange programs and stuff for insane
so
amounts.
That's like how much they sold, but maybe not how much money.
Oh, yeah. As far as like actual quantity goes, I think this is more just like how many units specifically.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, those are typically in large format bottles. You're looking at like maybe, you know, 16s, 22s. So people may only buy one of those, where they might buy, you know, a couple 12s or 16 ounce kind of things of the other ones too. So
they definitely are. You see people's Tavor hauls and shit, and there's definitely multiples and stuff. So
I will say I do miss the days of the Tavor box, being like, what am I gonna get weird on today? Because Lord knows I'm not stopping at two. I'm researching. I tell myself I'm researching. Yeah,
it's really, you know, it's just really good timing that you both just stopped ordering Tavor once I started getting.
Not even that.
Tavor, I'm just
maybe
kidding.
Doug specifically. No, but I had.
I don't remember last time he bought a fucking beer.
I had to watch my bank account because if you're not familiar with the app.
Yeah.
They literally put like they'll send you like 2 to 3 push notifications a day,
yes,
being like, hey,
exactly,
by the way, this thing's available. You may want to go quick.
Exactly. You need
it's only $7 a can.
You need to turn your see, you could do this strategically. So get the app, use Tavor, turn the notifications off. Do yourself the favor, because that's where it gets dangerous. That's where you just start adding. Be a little bit more selective, you know, if you're just having a day, go on there. See what they have.
Or turn it off. Don't buy anything on there. Never run out of beer. Work yourself to death. Make all the beer yourself. Start a brewery. And then have a massive thing that you have to worry about all the time. That's what I did.
Only make what sells. You can't make any.
Doesn't matter what
IPAs.
You think. Only matters what the drink. I'm going to put that on. Oh, my God.
Oh, that was good, Chris.
Oh.
That was good.
But to finish this little fun
list, get to the actual list.
what will we see next? The data from May presents several trends that may see to continue in Q2. Comes to a close in June, perhaps even extending into the rest of summer 2021. Hoppy and juicy beers will still remain the lead, obviously. Beyond beer styles such as like craft ciders, hard seltzer smoothies are going to be on the rise. With many breweries releasing new fruited beers every day, the rise in their popularity seen in April could start to plateau as the market becomes more and more saturated. Craft brewers still prefer to package their beers in 16-ounce cans more than any other type of container. However, data from May suggests that this trend is shifting downwards since February. The amount of beers on Tavor in 16-ounce cans has dropped from 72.5% to a mere 55.3%.
Can I give an opinion?
Sure.
I think that the seltzer trend, and not trend, because I do think it's here to stay, I think is going to put a big damper on cider eventually, because you can technically make it healthier and you can make it in the same facility as beer.
Yeah, I mean, there's a
but
lot
you
of...
can technically make cider in the same facility as beer. Yeah, but
specific
like if more, yeah, and there's a lot of whatever. But You know what I mean? I just feel like then it's just easier if you do want to dip into both markets. Like some breweries do want to dip into the cider market, but like obviously I would go for cider market now over cider market because it's just...
Cider market's always been weird, you know? It's
And that is true. It's very... I don't know. Like I'm not a cider person. I just feel like it gives me a bad hangover. And I feel like there's a lot of sugar.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And it's just not my cup of tea. But I know a lot of people who are obsessed with it. I know a lot of cider places, meaderies and stuff like that who do super, super well. But I just feel like more people, as they get more familiar with these craft seltzers and smoothie seltzers and stuff like that, and the people who don't care about the sugar intake, they're going to go for these seltzers over the ciders now.
Yeah. I agree because based off of perception, again, this is coming from a brewery, not mm-hmm. a seltzery, not a, yeah. a meadery, not a cidery or anything like that. I will say that you do not often see people who are cider fans talking with the same passion and the same yeah. fervorance that mm-hmm. Beer fans are when it comes to beers versus ciders. So you're not like... And again, this is down in Florida.
There is a realm. Yeah. Like absolutely. Once you dig deep, but still, it's not as vocal.
More people drink cider specifically because it's not beer mm-hmm. and it is an alternative that a lot of breweries will carry because maybe they don't have an extensive wine list or whatever it may be. Yep. It is a non-beer alternative. Whereas so are these things that they can make on the cheap, or even if it's not on the cheap, depending on what they're doing with it, they can still control their margins. They can still put it out themselves and therefore be able to take out some of that margin that they'd be paying somebody else to bring cider in. I wouldn't be surprised if, unless cider gets a lot more creative, it doesn't fall a lot more to the wayside based
hard
off these things.
Hard Booch would even take over more.
I would love to do Hard Booch.
I think that would take over more than cider. It just seems, I don't know what it is. I don't know why.
What it is that cider had the first mover's advantage. Mm-hmm. Cider was the first non-beer, beer-accepted beverage that people were comfortable with. I won't say what brewery, but like when I was in sales, I had a specific brewery as an account. You know, I didn't sell them any beer because they made all their own, but they didn't sell cider. And because of the volume that they were going through, They were the top account for this cider company in the entire nation based off the fact that they went through 8 kegs, like 8 half barrels. So almost 4 full barrels of cider a week just because literally, and not to make it sound sexist or anything like that.
Because a lot of women were coming in.
It was literally just a dad bringing his family to a brewery and the mom being like, I guess I'll take the pineapple cider. I don't really like beer.
Wow.
That was it. That's it. So like,
which is interesting because I feel like that doesn't happen a lot. At Tactical?
No.
Because, I mean, on a Tuesday, like, for instance, the last 3 Tuesdays, I think I poured 1 cider. No we bullshit. Really
but also at the same time,
that's
too.
Just, like, a Tuesday. That's just my personal, like, we do definitely do a lot more than that, but, like, we do. But, that just stands out as... Me personally, I pour more White Claws than ciders, and it's just like I haven't been around that long, and it just already seems like it's something that's going to take over another thing, you know?
So on that same vein too, you know, and again, this is very locally opinionated as far as like what I'm about to say here, is in Florida, if you try making something that's going to stand up against like White Claw or Truly or things like that, it's going to be very difficult because people are already built into that brand association. People are already buying
they
that.
They just trust the brand.
Yeah, they trust the brand and they're probably getting a better price on it than what you can offer,
definitely.
To be honest.
Especially packaged.
Yeah, you might be able to match it, but if you're going in distro, it's going to be really hard to beat their, you know, their buy one, get ones in the C4 or the C4s and stuff.
There's always a BOGO. When are you in Publix and there isn't a BOGO on at least 1 or 2 different brands?
Exactly. So, you know, trying to compete in that very clean, very bright realm of doing that is going to be very difficult. But again, our industry, full of very creative people, full of like just having a lot of fun with stuff.
Yep.
We can still take what they're making and take that process and that popularity. And again, the same way we did with beer. Like, yes.
Make it 10% and put a shitload of fruit in it.
Boom. Make it, like, I don't know, 8% and put a fucking cheesecake in it. We can dry hop it. We can fucking scorch it with hot stones because they're not doing that at the big breweries. Do whatever you want to with it. And yes, you will still see a return on it.
Yeah, but absolutely.
I would be very, actually, if you're out there now and you're making something that competes directly with like White Claw, Truly, anything like that, and it's actually going better for you, I would love to hear from you for
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And try it, too. Yeah. Because we're always trying to try all the new seltzers just because, I mean, why wouldn't we? We're like diving into it. But it's just amazing that like I definitely prefer the seltzers coming from these craft breweries over Truly and over White Claw, hands down. Blind taste test me right now. Guarantee you we will be able to taste that aftertaste, that very, very, very specific aftertaste. And they're more morphing into... like sours, like, you know, like ours. And, you know, even that one from 3 Cents, it tasted like a fucking sour more than anything.
I could see that.
It was a seltzer. And it was so much puree.
These big ones, I think a lot of times the reason we're getting these weird flavors from them is because, you know, obviously we're using different flavoring compounds and nothing against that. Use extracts. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Like the people, like just a side little soapbox thing. The people who look at breweries and different type of fermentation capacities of things and be like, I can't believe they use extracts, and then goes and eats a fucking Dorito. Shut up. Like, I'm sorry. Get off your high horse for a goddamn second. Like,
you're so much more polite than me. I'd be like, but you go home and eat ass. Like, are you serious?
No. Dude, yeah, exactly. That toilet paper was bleached. Did you know that? So anyway, what they're doing is they're essentially making this high gravity, like hard seltzer, backwatering it, and then dropping the pH with citric acid or different types of acid or whatever it may be. And then they flavor it and then they sell it out because it's cheap, it's easy, it's effective. And obviously people are writing songs about White Claw. So it's definitely effective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
And it's not bad. Like, I'll fall on a black cherry White Claw all day.
No, I'll fuck it up, but like I don't enjoy it. I'm not a seltzer. Like, I don't like bubbly. You like bubbly, right?
I love bubbly.
You love bubbly. And like, you know, all my friends, they love like these seltzers and stuff. I just fucking hate them. I all day long, I would rather go for just a water with ice, you know. So I understand that. But
did you guys not have CO2 where you're from? Or
well, it's weird because my dad gets like those liters of that shitty plain ass seltzer from Walmart, like, and just
that's weird.
Drinks it.
Yeah.
Like every day.
Plain seltzer?
Plain seltzer.
Aye.
No flavor. Once in a while, he'll get some flavor, but not.
In 10 years, he's going to like sprinkle some black pepper in there just to be more of a man.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Ugh.
I know.
Yuck.
I know.
No.
So I didn't have soda a lot growing up too. Mm-hmm. So if I went for something that had carbonation, if I drank one of those seltzers, that's what I had, you
that's
know, so
fair.
It just totally deterred me from it and just grew up, and it's just still, there's just something about them that I just hate. So I'm definitely going more for those puree, you know, quote unquote sour or seltzers that are more like sours, knowing like I'm not going for this because it's healthier. I'm not.
No.
Like, it's not healthier.
It's basically a way to craft a cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
With adding juice, concentrate, real fruit, whatever it is you do, and just adding the alcohol with a seltzer-based kind of aspect of things.
Do you think it started off just strictly just trying to be just the gluten-free thing? Or do you think there was just like, it was starting off trying to be healthy and now
it's really
craft,
hard to
us
say.
As craft beer people, we made it unhealthier?
You know what's funny? It's like a year ago, if you were to say, oh, it's craft seltzer, I'd be like, fuck you.
Oh, but 100%. Like, but literally
now,
a year ago.
I get it.
Yeah.
Like, because like there are new takes
crazy.
On it.
Crazy.
Because I think, again, and we've talked about this a lot too, where the person coming in and geeking out about something like a Smooge or something like a 3 Sons, they're not drinking it for the calorie conscious decision. They're not drinking it for the same reason that people, you know, buying White Claw or Truly are. Those people are buying the idea that they're making a healthier decision based off their lifestyle to still get kind of fucked up, but not have to worry about all the calories of beer and wine and cocktails and this, that, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they accept the flavor profile because that's what it delivers their mind, right?
Yep.
So whereas like we're not getting a lot of people coming into breweries going like, what's your lowest calorie beer? Like you get that from time to time.
Once in a while.
Hands down, like once in a blue moon. But most people are like, all right, I'm here. I want to have a good time. I want to experience something new. Oh, that's cool. I'd like to try that. They don't really care about calorie conscious stuff. Or else, again, they wouldn't be buying these giant imperial stouts. They wouldn't be trying these double dry hopped hazy IPAs. Okay. So it's just a different demographic. So I think once people start realizing and they get over the fact of like, yes, you should probably be making a seltzer on your portfolio, and you can do it in a different way to attract different consumers and excite different consumers than just trying to compete with White Claw, Truly, those kind of things.
Because you're not. You're not going to compete with them and, try to make like an actual like good product, but it is partially just a marketing ploy. I mean, if it's this feeling like, oh, this might be healthier. Yeah, sure. All right. Mm-hmm. It's lower carb. You're not wrong. It's probably more sugar.
Yeah, it definitely is. But
it's lower carb by a few grams. But
maybe. At the same time, it's still probably the same amount of calories as like a beer and sugar content and stuff like that too. So
exactly. Yeah. So but I wish they were lower. I only go for seltzers for the healthier, lower carb component. So I do wish there was a way that we could make that delicious seltzer. And like lion juice.
So unfortunately, there is specifically like there's an inherent line of alcohol itself has calories. Mm-hmm. The higher ABV you go, the more calories you have.
The calorie isn't the thing. It's the carb. The carb aspect is the only thing that I personally, I'm not speaking for everyone, but like as a health-ish, conscious-ish person, that's the only thing that I give a shit about.
That's unfortunately where you get into the realm of like real ingredient versus extract, to where like if it's low calorie, probably has extract. If it has like high calorie content, it's probably the real stuff because that's what makes it taste like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And there's no right or wrong on it. Like I said, like, it's go eat preference. Your Doritos, you know?
Yeah. So. That's just a hilarious comparison. Like, shut the fuck up. Dude, what you think.
Oh my God.
That's super funny.
I still remember, and like a small little thing real quick, like when Wicked Weed was bought out by InBev, when Funky Buddha was bought out by Constellation, so many entitled beer enthusiasts that I spoke to, you know, coming before we even started Tactical, this was just when I was a big fan and worked in different parts of the industry and stuff. Not as a brewer, not as any of that. Speaking with these people, just friends of mine who are like, oh yeah, the quality's already gone downhill. You can tell because now they use extracts, and be like, dude, this was made before the acquisition. Like the acquisition's not even done. Your perception of it has literally just changed because you think they're doing that because you think that they're going to do this to it. And Absolutely. Even if they are, guess what? They were probably already using something to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just really, really funny to me, like this holier than thou kind of mentality they have. And that they
I wish I was in it long enough to be able to even to point it out like you can. Yeah. You
and
know?
They'll suck down a bunch of barley wines and crazy fudge things and then go eat a bunch of Taco Bell because that's obviously way better for you.
Some fudge things.
Yeah. They're not asking where the ground meat and their fucking double layer burrito came from. So.
Oh, my God. Not wrong.
Anyway.
Not wrong.
So that's seltzers. How about it?
And Tavor.
And Tavor.
And if you guys are interested in using Tavor, use code PINTSIZE and it'll save you
some money. Why did you tell me that? I give them money.
You haven't bought Tavor in a minute.
You don't know that.
I do know that. You would come in and you would share and you would tell me what you fucking got.
No, you obviously get your own boxes, girl.
Yeah, but you would tell me.
That's fair. I live a sad Tavoris life.
Tavoris life? I live a pretty okay Tavor life. I'm not complaining.
I'm going to have to turn the notifications back on.
What is the best thing I've gotten from the Puff? Those Puff XLs or whatever, those sours are so fucking good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, Brewery Project makes them. Oh my God. Will and Andrew, some of our friends and regulars, they tried one for the first time, and Will made Andrew track them down through Tavor, checking every single day until they pop back up, and made him only get a package of only the Puff XLs because he loved them so much.
That's pretty funny.
It was pretty cute. It was pretty funny.
That's awesome.
So, any Whoville?
So we basically sound like a PSA for Tavor.
I mean, because they're fucking awesome. We liked them before I had anything to do with them.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like years before.
Yeah. They're like a heroin to me. I literally had to stop doing it and ignore it.
I bet you Duck doesn't even have the app on his phone right now.
What? Tavor?
Tavor, yeah.
No.
No. See? Yeah, that's correct. It's crack.
What else you got?
Well, let's see. Shall we talk about our next big ass, fun ass event we are attending?
Sure. We're actually hosting the 2021 cricket tournament. Local chapters only. There is 1.5 teams.
1.5?
1.5?
Half.
Yeah. No.
So what we're actually doing is, we've talked about it before, the Free the Whales, Saturday, June 26th. We have the full lineup. So I think the last time we talked about it, we were only on, I think, the second announcement.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so the full ass lineup. So I think tickets are still available. I think the VIP sold out.
Who even knows?
But there's 3 Sons. Hopefully they bring that seltzer. Angry Chair, Arcane, Barntown, Bamari, Boneflower, Bottle Logic, Branch, and Blade, Calusa, Cerebral, Civil Society, Corporate Ladder, Country Club, District 96, Hidden Springs, Honey Pot, Invasive, Jay Wakefield, King State, Lua, Magnanimous, Moxa, New Image, Ocelot, Ology, Other Half, Phase 3, Pointy Bell, Pontoon, RAR, Recycled, Resident, Spanish, Tactical Bruin, The Answer, Tripping Animals, Viking, Artisan Ales, Vitamin C, and Woven Ooder.
Should be pretty dope.
That sounds like the most baller ass lineup I have ever uttered in my life. Oh my god. And what's just dope is that it's not all Florida. It's not even close to being all Florida. It's like,
no, it's a really good mix. Florida. It's at least 70% of the stuff you're going to find on Tobor. Again, Tobor.
That's how
you
want
to.
That's how you want to bring it back. No. That's what you want to do. No, but you just fucking did it.
Yeah. No, that should be really fun. So what are that's the dates awesome. On that one again?
26th. Yeah. Okay. So we shall see you there. You might see us behind the booth, but maybe walking around with some microphones. So if you see us, shout out. And we will shock and a crispy with you.
She will.
Oh, you fucking will too.
I can only do that like so many times before I lose my soul.
Okay, well, how many people do you think are going to come up to us and ask for a shotgun?
Well, if Ireland's involved, at least 2.
Well, I hope they are, because I'd right. love to meet them. What else do you got there, Chris?
Honestly, let's see. Some fun little ones, right? So I always check up just like the random beer news stories. One fun thing is that Pearl Jam is actually releasing a beer, their third beer collaboration. They did one with Dogfish Head years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this one is in an effort to raise money for a skate park, which is pretty dope.
That's cute.
So they are teaming up with Kettle House Brewing Company to come up with something to be able to provide all those funds and good stuff. So I wasn't able to find exactly what they were making, but just kind of a little press release on that. If you're a Pearl Jam fan, I mean, who's not if you weren't born in the late 80s, early 90s, am I right? Definitely check that one out. Fun little story from the German military. Now, I had tasked you earlier with coming up with a natural segue to involve Germany. And in an effort to do so, you found some fun facts, no?
I did.
All right, let's hear them.
See how fun you think they are.
Oh, God.
I'm just kidding. So this is probably pretty obvious to a lot of people who are super into beer, but if I knew this, I forgot it. The purity law, are you super familiar with it?
You mean the Reinheitsgebot of 1587, only to be updated in 1856 to add yeast as one of the 4 main ingredients in beer?
So that's pretty interesting. So they only can use them there, like in all of Germany, like so, the whole fucking country?
I don't know if it's still like horribly adhered to, but
they
know
make it sound like it is, and that only specific times can they do anything different, and like maybe shandies.
Yeah, so it was one of those kind of things where like it was a big tax issue at the time. Mm. If you look at it historically, I love the you still get it to this day as people come into brewers and be like, well, I only drink German beers because of the Reinheitsgebot. So you'll still hear that from time to time. And if you are that guy, most beer is chill, man. But with that being said, even out there, I mean, there's still a lot of craft breweries kind of bucking that whole thing. It was a traditional aspect of brewing for a while, but it was largely
like it super narrows it down. There's many fucking hops and
it was largely built on taxation of wheat specifically, which is why wheat beers could still be made for royalty. So they were like, "You can't, but we can," or however the Germans say it.
That was a little more like Scandinavian. You can't, but we can. Yeah. Mm. You, because I'm a blower.
You will have a bite, something else. Not for you, tiny peasants, no. Nine.
Did you know that...
The Muffin Man.
The Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man.
That Frederick the Great loved beer so much that he entirely banned coffee. He was like, fuck everybody and your likes and what you care to drink even in the morning to function and work as a human, fuck you, drink beer.
So first of all, dick move.
Yeah,
like it's not even a competition, man. Like, why even get rid of the coffee? Sometimes I drink coffee after drinking beer to drink more beer. Caffeine, man.
Caffeine,
it's
man.
A marathon mindset.
I mean, it's like 1777.
Yo,
it's
actually like, you want to hear something really crazy? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, okay? Sometimes, guys, everyone listening, this is going to be insane. I'm going to blow your minds. We'll put coffee, right? So we'll take the coffee, and then we have beer. We'll put coffee in the beer. It's fucking crazy.
You're telling me. Hold the phone.
Okay.
You're telling me.
Right.
You can put the coffee into the... Into the beer?
You heard me right. Now,
folks, you heard it here.
Look, I'm a little concerned because now that I've said it, everyone's going to be doing it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, yeah. We're going to see coffee beers here, coffee beers there. Oh, my God. But, I mean, hot take. Try coffee in your beer.
Oh, my God. And, people should only drink beer soup instead.
What?
Beer soup, because it supported the national agricultural economy. And
that's just hot beer.
And coffee was then put on the black market.
That's like calling cucumber juice a soup because it's gazpacho.
People had to smuggle it in.
Why was it hot? Ew! Anyway, German military.
Your turn.
German military to ship surplus beer back from Afghanistan. This is on abcnews.go.com/weird. /wire story /... I'm just kidding. So over in Berlin, turns out the German military is super fucking cool. And so they actually send a per diem of 2 beers per day for all of their soldiers.
Wow.
So there's a massive amount of beer just sitting in Afghanistan because of local religious ordinances and environmental ordinances saying that it can't be sold and or destroyed. So they're bringing it back and they're going to ship it across the U.S., across the world and all that kind of stuff too. So check your dates on your imports, boys and girls.
Now,
this is where the Reinheitsgebot really puts them in a pigeonhole. If you say that it's, you know, desert aged, or if you say that it's been aged in the Middle East as a different type of technique, you could pioneer old, out of code, crazy, hot, ridiculous army surplus beer. It's all about marketing, boys and girls.
You're not wrong.
I don't know.
And y'all, we're going to buy it. Like, that's who we are as a species.
I'm actually going to look it now. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to find it. Anyway, so that's that. Let's see. What else do we have? Pearl Jam. We got Germany. We got Tivor. I'm pretty much done. Oh, wait. We did this a while back. The Florida Breweries Report Top 10. Mm-hmm. You want to find out who it is now? So this is for what month was this one? This was posted in May, about right? March, because they are a little bit like it takes them a while to aggregate the info and stuff. So
Makes sense.
March, your top 10 breweries throughout Florida as far as production goes and taxes paid sales in barrels. Let's go to the last three. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
Three Daughters Brewing Company at number 10, still holding high. Wicked Barley Brewing Company out of Jacksonville.
Nice.
They're still holding pretty high too. And Funky Buddha.
I mean, they had a 3-hour wait, so that makes sense.
Dude, they kill it.
They are.
Boca Raton's Funky Buddha Brewery, still killing it with sales as well. We'll just go down the whole list. Why not? Because number 7 is fucking dope, and I love them. Calusa Brewing out of Sarasota.
Fine. Yeah. Good for them. Good job, guys.
Coppertail out of Tampa. Good friends. House of Beer out of Dunedin, which I've only been there once. It's been a long time, but it's definitely worth a revisit.
I don't know if I've been to that one.
They've been around for a minute, man.
Oh, I bet. I mean, all the fucking breweries in Dunedin have been there since NOM, but I just can't place that one.
Yeah. Huh. Number 4, the old Anheuser-Busch up in Jacksonville. Always in the top 5, usually. Number 3, Twisted Trunk Brewing Company out of Palm Beach. Number 2, Cigar City Brewing Company. And again, number 1, Crooked Can Brewing Company.
It was a sour red that Cigar City just had on draft.
Oh, really?
Oh my shit. It Gross. Was so good. It All was. Right. It was amazing. It tasted like a Flanders kind of. Like, it was weird.
The Flanders red?
Flanders red. It was so good. So good. I don't know how they came up with that, but damn.
I love going down there too, because like, not to pull the like old man hat, but I've been going down there since they started. And so it's always been fun. I don't get to go down very often. Maybe once every year or two, and going down every time, seeing how much they've grown, seeing how much they've expanded, and then just seeing how cool their tap room is, man. Because you get the big ones like High Lie and Cracker and Maduro and all those kind of things, but then there's just so many things that they're experimenting on that you just don't see very often in distribution.
Yeah, their side system that's totally separate from their actual production. And then have you been down there since they expanded at all? Their tasting room.
Maybe since they turned like the brew house into the fermentorium.
I don't know how long. I've only been there twice, and I didn't notice the second time I went that they expanded until someone pointed it out. So
yeah, that's crazy, man.
But it looks beautiful. It's really, really nice.
Definitely worth a stop. I know a lot of times people are like, "Oh, Cigar City, we'll make it over there, whatever."
But go. But like, it's go, one man. Of those it's, when you're awesome. In those cities, like when you go to Asheville and you go to Sierra Nevada. Obviously, it's not the kind of same.
But it's type like a Willy Wonka.
But it is one of those places where you just should go. So
absolutely. So
do some what the fucks or what?
I guess we could do some what the fucks.
You want to go first?
Sure. This is by Jeremy H. Fundamental Forces 2021 Bottlelogic Brewing Company. It is an Imperial / Double Stout. The review says 5 stars. There are fundamental forces deep within babies that cause them to explode their recently drank milk directly into their mother's mouth. Thanks for this amazing beer, Josh. And then it's a photo of a mom who's just like covered in baby vomit. It's disgusting.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, that's just like a lot of, you're sitting there with a lot of time. Yeah.
No, it's just like a dick dad. He's just like, hey, look what he did to you. Hold on. Hold still. I got to take a photo. Anyway, what do you got?
God, I swear to God. If I ever see that in public, I'd be like, put your fucking phone away, asshole.
Put your baby away.
Put your baby away.
Oh, shit. No.
So this one, it's kind of comical because they crossed out the name of the person on this, which I don't normally see him do. So it's, hey, cowboy, are you going to finish that corn dog? And this is actually a beer I'm sitting in our fridge right now. It's a stout from Two Tides. And the thing says almost 4.25. Needs more cheesecake. Less peanut butter.
God, give your fucking balls a tug.
Bussin', but not really bussin'. Because on God respectfully is lacking a bit of sheesh. That's what the caption says.
Oh my God.
It's lacking a bit of sheesh. That's what he
I love this whole like... This realm of, hey, let's make a crazy cheesecake, chocolate pudding, raspberry, banana, donut, blah, blah, blah. Like, cool, do it. Awesome. No fucking, no notches against you, right? But then the person who reviews it and goes, well, there could be more donut, and it tastes more like an old-fashioned than a glazed donut, it's just not enough. Fucking turds. Anyway. So, another one is from the Bearded Tang Brewing Company. Tangy by Bearded Tang. Didn't say who the reviewer was. I did not drink this one, and I don't know how this app works. It's basically raspberry cider, 3.75.
Oh my God. I mean, yay for being honest. Nay for being you.
I suck.
Nicholas C. Reviewed dessert first from Mustang Sally Brewing. It is clearly an imperial stout, and it's a 1.25 because it's quite stouty.
Too much of the stout?
Too stouty.
They should turn the stout nozzle
it's
off.
It's just too stouty. And then the guy puts the caption, really disappointing when that happens.
Speaking of captions.
Should always read the caption to these two because he's clever.
Kathy B. at Brewery Fire. Brewery Fire basically put out a beer. It was a sour that says, don't order this if you don't like Bloody Marys. Kathy rates it 0.25. Kathy B. responds with, tastes like a Bloody Mary. I'm both amazed and disgusted. Brewery Fire responds, well, guess the name didn't work.
Oh my God. Wait, where is that brewery?
I don't know. Brewery Fire. We're going to look them up. We're going to do on-demand research, boys and girls.
Brewery Fire. Okay, they are out of Maryland.
Yeah.
Brewery Fire, I will be going to your brewery when I drive through Maryland.
Yes, home of the Bloody Marys, I believe.
Taney Town.
Taney Town.
No.
I don't know.
Teeny tiny town. We will be attending your place.
All right. Well, that's all I got. So, new thing suggested follows.
Yes.
Yeah. Who are you thinking? Who you been watching?
Let's see. Honestly, aside from the obvious.
Oh, by the way, for you of listening to this, this is a new segment we just made up, where we talk about things that give us some fun joy throughout the day or some food for thought in our industry as far as social media goes. Usually just Instagram because Twitter's garbage pile.
It really is. Yeah. I don't even have Twitter. I refuse to have a Twitter.
No.
I think Allie made a spoof one of me and she just actually messages or her tweets are directly to fast food chains, calling them out for things that they clearly would never have and go against every part of their business model. Like she'll bitch out Hardee's for not having a good enough vegan menu and stuff like that, but it's like under my name. It's pretty fucking funny.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty fucking funny.
Excuse me, are you using extract in your mushrooms with A1 burger?
No, I swear to God, that's like the type of shit she does.
That's actually
and
pretty good.
I can't even be mad because that's just hilarious. So my first one, her Instagram handle is the Beer Darling.
Okay.
And she just does a phenomenal job at beer photography. It's just super, super, super clean. Her color composition is always stunning. And she just gives really good inspiration for product shots or lifestyle shots that you could do with craft beer.
Yeah, I'm looking at what I mean? They're very clean. They're well put together. A lot of fun color scheme kind of things.
It's like all kind of the same color composition.
Yeah,
just hits my OCD spot so fucking hard. If you do the same presets and have a good color composition, I love you.
Oh yeah, the palette of going through the grid alone,
right? Yeah. Isn't it just so aesthetically pleasing?
I just want to look at this in fall.
I know. Right? So hey, Whoville.
So mine is Wart Wrangler, if you haven't heard of them, just because they're super dope. They've always interacted with us whenever we do like a lot of production style stuff. I think this will be fun too, because like usually yours comes from like more of the influencer photography, that kind of realm. Mine is much
more
like
funny memes and like industry humor that keeps you sane during a brew day.
Yes, mostly that. Like, oh shit, I dropped the tri-clamp in the boil. Who else has done this?
Did that sum it up more adequate?
So, no, they do a really good job. It's basically a lot of like just kind of production brewers kind of submitting a bunch of stuff for their story and just random silly haha memes.
Did you ever read their bio? The Wild West Wrangler of Wart and also Everybody's Bitch, host of the Mash Pit podcast. Follow me if you're a hooker and your pimp is a brewery.
Pretty much it. Yep. So speaking of them too, like we're hoping to team up with them soon on a Mash Pit podcast. So
yeah,
that'll be fun.
They did say yes.
Queen. I'll also be everyone's bitch. Fuck it.
That was phenomenal. Good for them. Good for us.
Yep.
Everyone's doing great.
Yay, life.
So that's all I got. That's all you got?
That's all I got. I'm going to be a real boy. Because I am a real boy, I will suggest that you go into Apple and you give us 5 stars. I would suggest that you follow us on all social media platforms. I would suggest that you go show some love to Sticker Wolf, who is always super dope and hooks us up with slappers and all the good stuff. And new single from Copper Bones popped up on my Spotify.
Really?
Just saying.
Nice. Yep.
So that's all I got.
Give that a listen later. All right. Well, thank you guys, as always, for listening, and we will see you next time.
Mm-hmm. I have to pee. Bye.
Bye.
Dead. Dead. Dead.